This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. We are on episode 8 of the season. I'm Ben Platt. I just want to start off by saying thank you for everyone for listening. We've had some great feedback over the last few weeks, and the listens have gone up, and lots of engagement. So yeah, just keep listening, and we'll keep bashing them out. We've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks who I'm sure you'll all be interested in hearing. Where do we start? Right, who we got on then? We've got Dunk. How are you, mate, Duncan?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? You had a good week?
Yes. Yep, very good. Thank you. Weather's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
It's not raining.
That.
I don't. We've got Bradley. How are you, Bradley Platt?
All right, boys. How is everyone? See, Duncan's got the retro shirt on there if anyone's watching.
Got the retro shirt.
Do you know what? I've never seen anyone wear that.
Lovely kit.
Apart from Duncan.
It's awful.
Awful. Brought us to the playoff final, lads. Lovely shirt.
You did, didn't you? We've also got a golden oldie on today, making his debut on the podcast. Simon Edwards, how are you, mate?
Hi, everyone.
You good? Welcome
Very
on.
Very good. Thank you for having me.
A welcome question. Who's your all-time favourite QPR player?
I thought you were going to ask me that.
That's because I told you.
Oh yeah. I don't really have a favourite. I like the I like people like Rufus Brevett and Clive Wilson, that sort of era, you know.
Early mid-90s.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good teams then. Good team.
Right then, I'm debating what to talk about first. Whether it's Kissgate or the Norwich game, but I'm gonna go with the football. So we haven't caught up since Birmingham either. So we'll start there. I was there. A tough night, really. I thought we started poorly. I don't think we won any second ball all game. Never mind the first half. Bit of a fluky first goal. You go 2-0 down away from home anywhere, it's a bit of a struggle, isn't it? And then we had the injuries, which I just think killed us completely, killed our shape again. Do we just put it down to one of those, Brad?
It was a tough old night, wasn't it, St Andrews? Injury, like you said, that don't help at all with Roberts going off and Clark Sorter. It's a big miss, isn't it? But yeah, it's one of them you'd rather forget a night like that. But we're all bound to have nights like that in football. But yeah, I don't really want to talk too much on it. Just forget about it and move on forward, I suppose.
Dunk, what are your views, mate?
Yeah, I kind of like echo Bradley's views, really. It was like we were shot, first half especially, we were absolutely abysmal. I think it's probably the worst 45 minutes of our season. I just felt that we're never in it at all. And there's not many games where I felt we've been like that, even when we haven't performed well this season. Like, I felt that we were literally, like you said, second to every single ball, like, didn't win any 50-50s. I think it was just overall a poor team performance. And what grates on me is, like, why did he throw Roberts straight back in for him to then get injured again? Like, he's clearly got fitness issues. He obviously wasn't ready. And then that messes up our game plan anyway. And me had to, like, what? We had to make Steph limp on into half time so it didn't mess up a substitution, didn't it? So he didn't use up one of the sub slots. Like, there's just so many things that went wrong in that first half.
Yeah, it feels like Roberts had his World Cup in his mind as well. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's like a psychological thing, but it would for anyone, I guess, with the World Cup coming up mid-season. But it kind of feels like any kind of twinge that he gets or anything that kind of feels something, it will just go off. I don't know what you think, Simon, but is it a bit of an overreaction? I didn't actually think we didn't play great, agreed, but we created lots of chances.
Yeah, but a lot of them were half chances, really, weren't they? I mean, Birmingham was up for it because of Eustace, wasn't it? And, you know, he got them fired up. And when we're that 1-0 down, just made it really difficult. It was a fluky goal anyway. Good goal, but a fluky goal, if you see what I'm saying. But, yeah, that animal, Bonnie Electa. Oh, when he elected, he was snapping at everyone's legs, wasn't he?
But he's going to be a
good player. Eh?
He has, hasn't he? You've done that on purpose, haven't you?
I thought I might slide that one in. But yeah, Hannibal Lecter, I was calling him. But yeah, I think he's got a good player in him, if he can just turn down his you know, going at people's legs. Temperament, yeah.
He should have gone though. I mean, we were watching it in the crowd, and people were counting how many fouls he did. It was a ridiculous number.
Yeah.
Not too sure. I mean, if there's anyone else on the pitch, and they get sent off for that. Anyone, you know, he's young.
He knew that though, didn't he? I think that's why he took him off after that.
Literally, that challenge, wasn't it? He should have gone for that, and he didn't. So they took him straight off. Are we blaming Senny for the first goal? Are we saying he should have done better?
I think he was just caught out, wasn't he? I'm not sure if you could.
The amount of wrongs to rights that Senny does, I think you just got to let it go under the carpet, you know what I mean? But, you know, I do echo a lot of what Ben's saying there as well. It wasn't really our night, but, you know, possession and stats and shots-wise, we were a better team, you know? Birmingham, they just stayed solid, didn't they? Their shape was solid. But, yeah.
They got the second-best defensive record in the league, haven't they?
Yeah,
like it's conceded. So, like, they're a hard team to score against, and that's what they did. They got their goal, and then they just kind of shut up shop.
I was watching the game, and do you know what frustrates me the most? Every time I see him, Troy Deeney. Oh,
can't stand him,
especially when he had a go at chair as well. I just see it on the telly because I wasn't fortunate to go. But
one observation that I just wanted to run past you was just that, like we've said, I don't think we weren't great. But it wasn't not great in the sense of I thought we created chances. I know you were right, Simon, they're half chances. Probably so we missed a penalty. I think if we'd scored that penalty, that last 7 or 8 minutes would have been really interesting because they were backs against the wall at that point. But I don't think defensively we were that bad either. They didn't create an awful lot. They got the two goals and they didn't do much. So it's a bit of a different to Warburton defeat. I find that, you know, the manner in which we lost was different. I.e. that the players, we didn't win any second balls. They didn't feel up for it, which is kind of different, isn't it? And I wonder whether it's got something to do with us being up there in the league, because we were right up there, weren't we? Second or third. And when we go to these away games like Luton, who were bang up for it, we're that team now that we need to, you know, we need to get up as well. We need to match them. Instead of going there thinking that we're going to win, or, you know, Willock or Chair or Sinclair Dykes are going to do something. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a...
Yes. I mean, that penalty, I mean, was it a bad penalty or a good save?
It was a bad penalty.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where it was like too close to the keeper, perfect height for the keeper. Did anyone feel confident he was going to score it? Because I definitely didn't. I was watching it. I was just thinking, like, the way the game was going, I thought, is it? We ain't even going to score this.
I thought he was going to sky it.
Yeah.
It was a perfect height for the keeper. We all said in the crowd, it looked like he was going to miss. It's just the way the game was going, wasn't it?
What was the atmosphere like, Ben?
So before the game, it was really good. But, you know, I always say the atmosphere is dictated by the game more than anything. You know, you'll get the good fans that sing. But, you know, when you concede after 3 minutes, then you concede after, 16, 17, it kind of ruins the whole atmosphere. And we didn't play great. It wasn't that great, which was frustrating. And like I said, nothing really happened, did it, for us.
So if Dives weren't playing, who's our next penalty taker?
Good question.
Chair.
I would say Chair, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be Chair, wouldn't it?
I would say Willock.
Yeah.
Willock's taken a penalty, hasn't he?
I mean, someone must have took them in the past when Dykes weren't playing.
It'd have been Austin. Austin would have.
Yeah. Austin.
Gray, was it Gray? Gray took a
couple. Yeah, Gray took a few, didn't he, last season?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Chair take a penalty?
No.
Did he take any in the shootouts last year in the cup run? I can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah,
no, I don't think he did. What about what about moving on to Norwich last night? Quite happy with the point at the end. I thought the performance was better. I don't think it was great, but it wasn't terrible. Simon, you watched the game. What were your views?
Yeah, I thought we, first 10 minutes, defence was a bit ickety-pickety. But then after that, I thought we were quite solid in the back. I thought they played really well. Even Dickey played good. And I just think that, Deang played a blinder through the whole game, didn't he? You know? I mean, they hit the bar. I mean, we hit the bar as well. But I just felt our defence was getting solider and solider. I don't think Norwich was ever going to score, to be honest. I just think our midfield was just weak, just nothing there.
Just it goes though, doesn't it? I mean, Carrow Road's a tough place to go, and they're right up there this season with us, aren't they? You know, they're the two teams that people are talking about at the moment, us and them. And it was one of them games. They hit the post. We hit the post.
But we took a point, now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100% take a point going there. But we were shady in areas. But I think I was watching it and I thought the subs Bill did. I was thinking, what's he done here? But he got it right. Again, you know, we held out to the 90 minutes. But what a game for Tim. He played absolutely brilliant from start to finish. I know he got an early yellow card, which made us all sit there and think, shit, you know what I mean? Because he does have a mistake in him, but we played brilliant. And I even think Dykes had a very good game for me as well. And I don't know about Amos and Dazelle. I just didn't think it worked for me last night, but he saw that. He took Dazelle off. But yeah, great point.
You know, Dykes, he only touched the ball 3 times in the first 22 minutes.
Yeah, I see that, but...
you shouldn't have saw it. That was my stat. You shouldn't have saw that.
Well, it was on Sky. It was on Sky,
but he...
Yeah.
He doesn't stop running, does he? And I know he made that mistake in the game, but he got back for it, you know, and he got in the way of the shot. I think Dykes, his effort yesterday as well, you could see how much running he'd done. And for me, I just think, I know we all think Dykes, goals, strikers, but he does do bits that probably you wouldn't see from a striker.
Yeah. You know when Chair was running back after that player, everyone thought he was going to get sent off on that, didn't they? Mm. But I want to know, is why was all our players all up the field and no one was back in? Normally they leave one or two behind the halfway line, don't they?
We did, didn't we? But I think it was Amos. He got caught out. He made us try a sloppy attempt to try and win the ball off that Todd Cantwell, who, by the way, I don't know how many times the commentator mentioned his name or like he was just like a fanboy of him, wasn't he? It was so annoying. But anyway, he dinked over him, didn't he?
That blonde hair kiddie.
Yeah. He like dinked it over him, and I don't think it was lucky really, because if Chair had, could have gone another way, that couldn't he? I don't think it was a foul, but if Cantwell had stayed up a bit more and went a bit further, I think that he could have been off as well, wouldn't he? So but back to your point, Brad. I think Big Tim, he was excellent, I love him. I think there's a real player in there, and if you've got someone who could carry a ball like that through the midfield in tight positions, right, that's gold dust in this league. No one else can do that in our team. Dazelle can't do that. I mean, we'll get on to Amos in a minute, but I'm not fully convinced he can do that. Johansson, possibly. Field can't. You know, you need someone, a ball carrier, to get you out of that trouble when you're up against it. I know, Doug, you're not his biggest fan. Someone called you out on social media. Reminded you.
Well, the thing is, I've never said he's a bad player. I just feel that sometimes his commitment isn't always there. And in some performances, it does look like he isn't bothered. There's been a couple of games where I just felt that he hasn't put his stamp on it. Whereas last night he did. And he was him and Senny were our two best players. There's no denying that. And there's no denying the boy's got some talent. But for me, if he's got this big future that Aston Villa think he's got and all these scouts think he's got, he needs to be proven it in this league. Like, he needs to step up. I feel like he needs to be performing like he did last night nearly every week or every, like, do you know what I mean? He can't be having eights and then sixes. He needs to be seven and eights every single week, showing that consistent level if he's going to be as good as everyone thinks he is.
I sort of agree with you. Because the kid's still young, you know? He's still young. He's still young playing. And look at the Championship this season. You've got some very good sides there. Even on the day, he's a young player. He needs a bit of time. And look at his performance yesterday. It shows that there's a player there. He was the best player on the park, without shadow of a doubt. And I get what you're saying. If we could play like that every week, but you could say that about every player each week, you know.
Yeah, but not every player's coming with the hype he's come with, have they? I feel like that's the thing. I don't want to shoot him down. I think he is, like, he's growing into this league. I think that's the problem, isn't it? Academy players, until they've had experience, it takes them a while to adjust. And I think he's getting over that adjustment period. And I feel like now he will push on and we'll see the best from him. But he's got to make sure he puts effort in and doesn't just think he can walk this league because he's a Premier League Academy player. Because he will get found out if he tries to be too cocky on the ball. That's my only concern.
Simon, what's your view on it, on Big Tim?
Big Tim, he done really well. The games I've seen him play, he just looks so leggy, but he just does it, doesn't he? And I suspect Smith knew him anyways from his Villa days, didn't he?
I disagree. I think he got the yellow card in the first, 30 seconds? That could have ruined his game, really.
Yeah, he did well. Yeah, he did well there.
But it didn't. And the Reading mistake gave away the penalty.
But he made up for it after that.
He made up for it afterwards. So, I don't know. I think he's going to be a top player for us this season. Injuries,
I just want to touch on that, Sam McCallum. In the first 10 minutes, he was destroying us down that left. But then after that, we sorted him out, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, he ran out of leg, didn't he? He hasn't got much of an engine on him, has he?
His first game back, I think, after suspension, yeah. I think.
Is it? Yeah.
I think yesterday as well, it took Powell a bit of time to get into the game. I know it was tough on that side. I noticed, and I know Laird grew into the game as minutes went on. He was going forward, a treat. So, yeah, like I said, it was a good performance. I think every QBR fan will be sitting at home now thinking that's a great point.
I've got some stat here. On the shots on target, Norwich had 3, we had 4. Not bad, is it? Shots off target, Norwich had 3, we had 7. And they had 65% of the play and we had 35%. So we done well on the shots.
But we just looked a unit, I think, as well yesterday. We were staying back. We kept a great shape. I know they could have scored in the last second of the game, you know, hit the post as well. But we just needed that bit of luck on the day, because I think we deserved that. You know, we haggled and haggled the whole game for that point.
Do you feel like we started a bit nervy because obviously like Dickey and Balogun haven't really had many minutes together on the pitch, and like as much as like a centre back partnership, they train together. Actually, their minutes on the pitch when you're being like pressed by an attacking team, like it is going to be nervy. And I feel like the whole back four was a little bit nervy for the first 10, 15 minutes, because obviously then it's someone different for Pau and Laird on the fullbacks, like having a different centre back in there, because Dickey hasn't had a lot of minutes recently.
I noticed that. Yeah, of course, that's a good point. But for me yesterday, did anyone else notice, or is it just me that I don't think Dickey looks as comfortable as he did on the ball?
You know, I think his confidence has gone, hasn't it?
His confidence is shot away now.
He doesn't look anywhere near the player he was.
Because he had the ball a couple of times last night, and I felt like, you know, that the old Dickey would have took it, maybe done a little run, but he was just playing it to the right, the left, and sometimes he was even booting it out of play. Do you know what I mean? I felt like his confidence wasn't there.
I think the problem is he's gone from Warburton, he was first choice pick. Like for Mickey Beale, he's third or fourth. Like he's not like it's Mickey Beale's like centre back pairing is Balogun and Clark Salter when everyone's fit. Like, so that's going to knock your confidence, isn't it, a little bit? And when you don't play games, you don't have that match sharpness. Like he used to be like carry the ball out from the back, didn't he? Play a pass, but I felt like he wanted to just play a bit more simple last night and just do the simple things rather than trying to be his normal self.
I think he had a good game yesterday, actually. I mean, he had a bit of... Pookie was getting behind him, wasn't he? And getting around him for the first 10, 15 minutes. But then I think he got to grips with him and thought he grew into the game. Yeah, you're right. He wasn't bringing the ball out as much. But like you say, it's probably down to his confidence. And I think he just wanted to make sure he had a good game. Didn't want to give the ball away. But yeah, Balogun... I'm just worried about Balogun. What is he, 34? Playing a lot of minutes and a lot of games are a necessity, and
yeah, but we've only got a few games left, haven't we, until the break?
Yeah,
just get through to the World Cup, and that's what we've got to do, get through to the World Cup. What is there, three games left now?
Yeah, three games.
Is the injuries a concern still, though? Oh, I still think there's just something in it. Like, what, like, where was I've got a thing about Armstrong, and this is controversial and I'm happy to be shot down. But what I don't understand is why a 19-year-old, I appreciate he gives a lot of energy and he's constantly running, but why can't he do more than 70 minutes? Why can he only do a half? Why can't he do like a couple of games in a row? He's a 19-year-old. Surely they should be full of energy. That's, you know, we're at their peak.
But do you think it's more like management of him, like they don't want to push him too much in this league too soon? Like, you think they're trying to just gradually get him more and more used to it, more and more used to the physicality of it, rather than just throwing him in completely at the deep end?
Well, but if you're not going to do that, you surely put him on the bench.
I don't understand why you can't put him on the bench for what could he do?
Yeah, but did he have a knock from the Birmingham game?
Oh, I don't know.
Was he carrying something? Because like he was putting himself about a bit there, wasn't he? So
Mickey Beale said, like you said, they're managing him, but what I don't get is he was never going to get that stamina, that match fitness if he's not playing, and you've got to sort of just push past it, haven't you, to a degree. I just think a 19-year-old, the one thing they should have is lots of energy and fitness, and that's just my view. I know I get he plays in a different way, but, I mean, does he do... I don't know. Tim does a lot of running. He's 19. I don't know.
He plays... you've got to think, though, Armstrong, he does play a lot of minutes for the under-21s as well. So maybe, you know, maybe he did have a knock, but I didn't see. But yeah, going back on what you said about injuries, for me, I think it's a big concern, isn't it? Obviously, we've got I say it every week on the pod I come on, we've got too many players there that are ticking time bombs, if you like. You know, you don't know whether some players are going to start week in, week out. The team sheet comes and you have a look and you think, not even in the team, not even on the bench.
Why do we get a lot of injuries? We had a lot with Warburton as well.
Do you think part of the problem is that we're rushing players back? Like, obviously, Willock was on the bench yesterday because we didn't have any other options. Like, in hindsight, if we'd had a fully fit squad and it was only Willock that had the knock, would he might not even brought him on, or might have brought him on for that last 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we're like with the Borough game, Willock got rushed back, scored the worldie, picked up a knock. Like Sheffield United, wasn't he rushed back before that? I just feel like, and Roberts again gets rushed back for the Birmingham game, goes off. I feel like because we're lacking a little bit up top in that creative area, because obviously Willock and Roberts were both out. Do you feel like one of them's been pushed too quickly to get back in because we're a bit light up top?
But I agree. But I worried yesterday when Field went down. I thought, because he's been our best player this season, one of them for sure. First name picked on in the 11 every week, I think, for Bill. But you've still got to remember, right? We got a point from Norwich away, and like I said, it's a tough place to go. And we've still got the likes of Dunn, Richards, Armstrong, Salter, Johansson, Roberts, all to come back. So if we're getting a point away to Norwich with that team last night, and you look at our bench, we all sat there and thought, look at our bench. No disrespect to the bench, but we've still got players to come back. So we're only going to strengthen. And if we just keep these players fit, like you said, maybe we just need to manage them a bit better. But I just think we need to get our 11 each week. We're rotating so much due to injuries, and I get that. It's no one's fault that the player's injured, but we definitely need to manage it better so we don't keep getting these injuries. Because some injuries that, Roberts, Salter going off early, that costs us a game. So,
yeah, injuries are a concern, aren't they? But like Dunk said, they've only got three games. So if we can just muster through and get to, we've got the bottom two at home next, which sounds good, but it's typical QPR, isn't it? To make their life difficult for ourselves. But you'd like to think that if we could get 4 to 6 points out of these games, puts us in a good position for the, after the World Cup, get a few players back. He wasn't really running, was he?
No.
He wasn't sprinting, like he wasn't, didn't look fit. I know he made that burst from a shot, but that's as much as you were going to get out of him all game.
I don't think he wanted to be on there, personally.
No, I think and with a hamstring injury, you're always a bit concerned, aren't you? Like a sprint's going to happen again.
is this episode of changing rooms, isn't it?
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like the rain here is absolutely crazy. I can't even, whatever room I'm in, you can hear it. It's like literally, anyway.
Oh dear.
Well, obviously, you've got Masterson as well that's injured. Obviously, I know he's nowhere near getting into the team, but there's just more players that, for me, I just feel like are getting injured. Surely, we after the World Cup, the break, we're going to work on it and we're going to just be solid. We can't have any more injuries, surely. We can't be that unfortunate.
But that Dunn's back Saturday, they reckon, so that'll be good to get him on the bench.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, Dunn's back. And I don't think Salt is too far away either, is he?
No. But again, it's just like, obviously Dickey and Balogun got a clean sheet last night. So
yeah, do you drop
there's,
them?
There's no reason to necessarily rush like Dunn and Clark sort of back in with these three games to go. Like, all our four centre backs are quality. So there's no reason that we need to drop Dickey because Clark Salter's back if he's not fully fit. So let's not take any risks there. What we need to do is manage Willock these next three games so that he could then have a massive break during the World Cup and get his fitness properly back up.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, Willock's a massive one for us. We just need to get him fit. Because I know we're going to come on to it, but Amos, I just didn't think... I don't know what it is for me at the moment, but he's just not doing it. I don't know whether it's his fitness or he's not playing where he wants to be playing.
I just felt yesterday that he didn't have the energy or the engine to cause the problems that a Chair or a Willock do in that position of the pitch. Like, he just, every time he kind of got the ball, he kind of panicked. Like, it was like, oh, I can't beat my man. Where's my options? I'll pay it back. Or like, he gave the ball away however many times. Like, I felt he had a really poor half, like first half, Amos. And then obviously when Willock came on, he dropped that little bit deeper, didn't he? He took over Dizel's place. And I thought he got back to a bit more of his natural position there. But for me, I feel like when everyone's fit, he's going to be on the bench. Like, I don't see him, which is so bizarre because last season he was really good for us at the second half of the season. Whereas this season, he's just, that confidence again, maybe for him has gone. That, there's just something missing with Amos this season.
And even last season, we were saying that we wanted to push him forward a bit more because he was scoring goals. Yeah. We were saying, let's push him up, let's push him forward. But I don't know, he just doesn't look like the Amos we've seen last season. But Dizel, I thought, was...
He was poor.
As well, he wasn't on it. He wasn't on it.
It's a shame because he's been developing well, Dizel, I thought, through the start of the season. And just seems to have... Because he's in and out of the side, I don't think that's helped him. Like, he needs like that consistent game time, I think. Like, going back to Amos, I'm just not sure what he offers on a pitch at the moment. It's difficult because I like him. And it gives us energy, I get that. But where's his best position? I don't know what he does. He's not the best. He's not like a passer in the team, is he? He's not like the crunching tackler. He's not like, you know, last season towards the end, he had that bursting run where he used to break the lines and get forward, but I haven't seen too much of that so far recently. I don't know. So I'm his development seems to have stopped at the moment, doesn't it? But yeah, there is still a player in there somewhere.
So why do you think it stopped then?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't suit the formation as much as he did under Warburton. Maybe Warburton, he was a big fan of his, and that's always the way, isn't it? Like, because Beale will have his favourites, won't he? They call Chair his son, don't they? You know, so, you know, maybe Beale just doesn't fancy him as much as Warburton did, and that transpires on a pitch for confidence. And also, we've changed the formations, so I think maybe he's the casualty of that as well. Yeah. Is that his defensive duties in that free? He has to. He can't get forward as much as he can. But then if he's in that number 10, he has to be doing more up there, doesn't he? When he gets the ball, he's not in the right positions for me, but. It's a tough one, because I like him. There's a player in there. It's just trying not to halt his development, but also he needs to offer more, doesn't he?
Yeah. What do you feel about old Mackie Bond's cameo appearance last night for the first time in however many weeks?
I couldn't believe I was seeing that sub's coming on, those three subs at the end. I didn't think that would be happening ever again, but it just happened, didn't it?
We could have lost it right at the last kick. I mean, Norwich had that corner.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that was... we all thought Bond was going to come on and score because he hates Norwich, doesn't he?
I thought that might have been the motivation he needed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Could have gone and kissed his Ipswich badge or something.
Do you know what I thought?
He'd have lifted his top up and he'd have had Ipswich top underneath it.
I thought he would have come on a tractor.
It was funny because I don't know if you saw on Twitter. They did that. What's your favourite chocolate bar? And they asked all the players, and it got to McBond, and I thought he was going to say Jaffa Cakes, but he didn't.
Did he?
No, he just ignored it and carried on walking. But so look,
I just like to say about the, we always knock the ref and that, but I thought the ref had a really good game.
Yeah, so do I. I think he got it spot on because, you know,
Davis done well.
Yeah, I've been noticing the refs. They're blowing up, aren't they? They're blowing all the time. But the ref yesterday kept playing, play on.
Because other refs would have sent Chair off, I'll tell you.
They were a home crowd. They would have broke, wouldn't they? Yeah. And also that pen at the end. That's another big decision. It wasn't a penalty, but another ref would have given that. Could have given that right at the end.
I was a bit peeved though, because the ref blew up before half time before we could take our penalty. But he let them take their penalty at their corner at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah. He was taking ages though, wouldn't he, Chair? I noticed that. Yeah. He was taking his time.
Yeah, I think he was taking his time on purpose, wasn't he?
Yeah, just getting a half time, wasn't it?
It feels weird, the old World Cup being in a couple of weeks. It just doesn't feel right. I thought it would be really, really good and different and but it's kind of just, I don't really want it to happen. I just want QPR to continue playing. I don't want to.
The thing is, I don't mind it for the fact that we could hopefully get our players fit at a crucial time of the season. Like, it's nice to, I think it'd be good for us to have a little bit of a break, because we haven't got many going away, have we? What we were discussing before we came on. There's only the three players that we think are going to go, because I haven't seen any final squads yet either, so we don't even know if they're definitely going to be going.
I think Dieng would definitely be going. That's a
Like, Chair's in and out of the Morocco team at the minute, isn't he? So it's one of those.
I know we want Chair to play. Of course we do. We want him to go, and he deserves probably to play in the National Football World Cup. There's a player there. He's brilliant. But at the same time, we're all sitting at home thinking, please don't pick him.
But the thing is, like, there's going to be plenty of teams in this league that are going to lose more players over that break. So, like, we should hopefully have a pretty much fully full-strength squad after it, and they should all be fully fit. That's the big thing for us. And then we can push on.
Yeah.
It just got like none of them come back with injuries. But I feel like if they do go, they're not going to be playing as much game time as you'd think. Because Dieng is not the first choice, is he?
I don't know. I just feel like players can get injured in training, can't they?
Mm.
You know, and we've got three injuries in the first 10 minutes in one game. So it would be nice to get Willock back and playing. And there'll be a couple of friendlies, won't there, behind the closed doors. But I just want another mention for Kenneth Power. I love him. Don't know why.
Yeah.
I thought he had a great second half at Norwich. But he seems to be growing into the league, doesn't he?
Like, for the fact that he was a free transfer as well, like, it's just an absolute bargain.
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. You wouldn't know he was 5'2" or something. He flies into tackles, doesn't he? He wins a lot of balls in the air. He can cross a ball. I just want to get him forward a bit more sometimes, but
especially when he was up against that Hernandez, who come on for Norwich.
Imagine that.
Looks a unit.
Yeah, in the 80th minute he comes on, and he's just had 80 minutes. You've got. And Ethan Laird as well. He was a bit better in the second half. He had a tough first half.
I think Norwich were better, weren't they? First half.
Yeah,
I think we were the better team in the second half, and I feel like they put a lot of crosses in, didn't they? Especially like obviously we know what Sam McCallum can do, because after having him last year, and he was causing Laird a few problems down that side with Cantwell. So the thing is, like Brad's been saying, like a point away to Norwich is a massive point, regardless, wasn't it?
We're sitting fourth, lads.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Got to take it. And not just that, I was looking at it yesterday. We have played 8 of the top 9 away from home. The only club we haven't played in the top is Burnley. Everyone else we've played away from home. Obviously, football doesn't work like that all the time, but that...
We've played more away games, haven't we? But I think our home record is better. I think, we had 17 points at home and 14 points away. So our away form is better, wouldn't it? But it's not now.
Yeah.
Our home form is better. But I think that's due to the games we've played. I think we've played...
Tough away games, mate. Tough away games. You think about it. So go into the second half of the season with those big games at home. You'd want them at home, won't you? When we play the Sheffield United, the Norwiches, you know, the Blackburns, the teams that are up there, Millwall.
We've got the most points now than we did. The last time we had these points was with Harry Redknapp.
Yeah, we went up, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got two home games now. Like you said, Ben, two of the bottom sides. I know I don't want to jinx it, so we're QPR, aren't we? But if we could get... Well, I want 6 points, but if we could get 4, we'd be happy, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd take 4 now, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'll take 6 points. Anything over 6 points over these next three games, I think, puts us in a good stead for coming back. And then we've got a big game at home to Burnley, haven't we, on the 12th of December. Yeah. Going into January, what are we thinking? A bit early, but...
We need a striker.
Yeah, 100%. That's a given, isn't it?
I think, to be honest, I think Bond's going to go. I just think it will happen this in January. And I think we've got to bring a striker in. We have to. I think every QPR fan will be fuming if we don't bring a striker in.
Oh, we've got to, mate, because we didn't back Warburton last chat, yeah, did we? Exactly. And we should have, you know. So, what, any other positions that we might want to left back? I always feel like that's a bit of a problem.
Wing back, I think, well, both. Really.
We just need like a versatile, don't we?
Yeah,
a versatile player that can play both.
Mm.
Yeah,
well, I mean, like, Ethan Laird can play both anyway, can't he? So we've got a little bit of versatility there. I just need that someone who's a bit more reliable than obviously KK or Hammer Lyman.
I'm going to be a bit harsh here, I think, but I think we need to get a better second choice goalkeeper. Not that Archer's done anything wrong because we haven't seen much of him, but really,
I can't. I think it's a position in football for me that, like, Archie's a solid enough number two. Why would we waste any of our transfer budget on a goalkeeper when we, like, it's not even needed?
Brad's having flashbacks of last year, isn't he?
When we had, he wants to have like seven goalies on the bench.
Simon, what do you think, mate? January?
Yeah, we need a striker. Definitely. We need a striker for years, haven't we? You know, I just done a little thing. You remember Connor Washington we had?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, between 2016 to 2018, he scored 13 goals in 92 games. And Dykes, right, between 2020 until now, scored 26 goals in 92 games.
Are you saying he's better? Or
on that, he's better, isn't he? Because in 92 games, Dykes has scored 26.
I often see people compare the two because they both work quite hard, don't they? And they finishing is not great with either of them. But that stat kind of proves that maybe Dykes is actually a lot better than maybe we think, or at least better than...
Better than Connor Washington, isn't he?
I quite like Dykes.
He only scored 13 in 92 games.
I think Beale was at it tough, though, didn't he? Especially up front, because I think he'd want to play Roberts up there, wouldn't he? Willock.
Yeah.
I think he'd want to play Sinclair more, but... And actually, I think he probably would have wanted to play Bond more, but with his attitude, possibly, it feels like maybe he's not been impressed with him in training. So I feel like his hands have been a bit tied up there. That's why Dykes has played so much. He's had necessity as much as anything.
Do you think the chair might... calm down a bit in the next three games in case he gets injured for the World Cup?
Well, yeah. That's what I think about Roberts. I feel like he's got that in the back of his mind. He feels like a little twinge and he goes off.
But if you notice your chair, though, I know Ben said it on the last pod about his injuries. He's very good at not getting injured. But if you watch him closely, right, he never chucks his whole body into a tackle. He's a very clever player. You know, I know he's not there to do that, but when it comes down to a 50-50 ball or anything like that, he doesn't chuck himself in.
No, I know what you mean. Like, he knows how to like ride a tackle, doesn't he?
Exactly, and then he'll just use his pace to chase after them. He won't actually impact the player. And that's what I think. I think Chair, he knows his game, doesn't he? He knows what he can and can't do with his height.
Mm. Yeah, he has got a bit quiet, hasn't he, Chair? Look, he's obviously had a great season. He's been brilliant, actually, this season. But the last few games, he's got a little bit quiet and a little bit...
Has he got the World Cup in his mind?
Possibly.
He's got no Willock, you've got to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got to learn to play without Willock, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then obviously we had Roberts, didn't we, against Birmingham. He went off. That's another creative player who is somebody of the same ability, but also would take players away from Chair like Willock does. And I think that's sometimes a problem when we haven't got those couple of creative players on the pitch, like Chair gets like two players on him, then he struggles, he loses all that space. Whereas when Christy Willock's on the field, like defenders suddenly panic.
Or even yesterday when
they get more space, they both get more space.
Yeah, they get more space, yeah.
Or even yesterday when Willock come on, did anyone notice he did that run, didn't he, for Chair to have that space to have that shot that went ridiculously wide. But he came on and he did that run, and that's what he offers. He does that, he uses his pace and he'll attract players to go to him, which gives Chair that opening. Whereas Dizelle and Amos wasn't doing that yesterday.
I suppose you're a defender, defending them two. Must be, you know, which one do we go for? Because they're both quick, aren't they?
Mm. They float as round as well, don't they? They just float. They don't never in one position, are they?
They just switch.
Sort of switch it around. So what we got West Brom next then? We've already said it a couple of times. They got their first win, didn't they? On Tuesday night. They don't look great. But we know that, but I still expect us to turn them over. They don't look great still. I know they've got a new manager in, but it's going to take a bit of time. And I expect probably to see the same team.
And how many ex-QBR players have you turned up with them?
We said this in the stand at Birmingham. It feels like we're playing an ex-player every week. And I'm saying to one of you lot, he's going to turn up this week. And he's... Do you know what I mean? We had Deion Sanders had a brilliant game the other day. Sam McCallum. And what have we got at West Brom? We've got Matt Phillips.
Furlong.
Yeah. We had Hugo last night, you said he was going to come on and score.
Well, yeah.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
I feel like we'll get a point at West Brom. I don't know. We've played... In the last five games we've played West Brom, right? We've won one, drawn one, lost three. And by the way, that's exactly the same as Huddersfield. We've won one, drawn one, lost three. So, but obviously we're a better side now.
I think they were better sides in our last previous times we've played them. Like, West Brom have really struggled this season, Huddersfield. Like, Huddersfield, what, were in the playoffs last year. West Brom obviously came down last year, didn't they? Yeah, so like there's loads of there's teams that have always had bigger, apart from Huddersfield, like West Brom always had a bigger budget than us. They've always been able to recruit like better players than us on paper. So you've got to take all those into account. But obviously the manager change just kind of happened at the wrong time for us, really, because they're going to get a bit of a manager bounce, aren't they? And it will be a harder game than it possibly could have been a few weeks ago.
What's happened to old George Thomas? He's just popped into my head strangely. I mean,
let him stay there.
No, I won't. He'll still miss. He couldn't get on the bench last night. I mean, if he can't get on the bench last night with that, with all the injuries we've got like, what have we got? Eight players out injured. His days are numbered, aren't they? Going back to that January, he's got to leave, hasn't he?
I'm just glad he only popped in your head and nowhere else.
Yeah.
Well, but obviously, Bill came out, didn't he? He said that him and Bon can both kind of leave in January. They're the two that he's obviously hoping he can either get some kind of loan fee or transfer fee for. But, I mean, we ain't going to get much for either of them, are we now?
No. Probably be loans, mate, for both of them, I suspect.
Someone could come in for Willock and Chair. You know, we have to hold these two, I know... They're our biggest assets in our club at the moment, and probably Dieng, you know, as well.
But Chair, and Dickie after last night.
But I mean, obviously Villa was sniffing around Chair, wasn't he? I don't know how much of that's true, just what you read online. But we've got to keep one anyway. We're not going to lose both.
It's going to take a big offer, mate. In January, they're inflated prices. I mean, it's good. I just can't see anyone coming.
If we're still in the playoffs in January, like, we'd be absolutely stupid as a club to take anything less than 20 million for each of them.
Yeah.
Because literally, they would be the difference between us getting promoted or not getting promoted. And getting promoted is worth, what, 150 million? So that's the gamble you would take, isn't it? You'd say, well, actually, if we don't go up, maybe in the summer, come back and we'll speak to you then. But I feel like they should, the club should have a kind of nose, like a stance of we ain't selling anybody in January. That is a key player.
Yeah, but we've got no budget there. So we've sort of, I know we don't want to lose any of them, but we've sort of got to sell to buy. You know, where's this money just going to come from? We're not going to wake up in January and think, oh, it's all right, we've got a pot there. Let's go and get this striker that we need.
Yeah, but that's the thing we might have, aren't we? Because obviously it all goes by cycles, doesn't it? You can only spend so much in a three-year cycle. Is January the end of the three-year cycle? That's why we spent nothing last January, not much in the summer. Is it so they put some money behind in case we were in a position of, oh, well, we don't know how midfield's worked out, we could be fighting relegation, we need to spend some money. Or now, best case scenario, we're pushing for playoffs, we're in the playoffs, let's have a bit of money to push us to extra like yards that we didn't do last year.
You'd like to think they'd just say, give this bloke what he wants. Give Beal what he wants. Because this, you know, if there's any manager at the moment, I know he's still fresh in his managing career, but if there's any manager going off our form now that can take us up, it's him.
It might have been conversations that Beal had to stay. Like, you know, he needs to back me in January. I will stay, but, you know, if we need to be backed in January. So I wonder whether that... What I don't want is what we've done the last two windows is wait until the bloody last day of the month of the window and then decide, oh, actually, we do need a striker, we do need a player, and then have to panic buy and get Jeff Hendrick in again.
Yeah. He's another one who came back, didn't he, play against us?
Yeah.
What about Huddersfield? Have they got anyone? I think they do, don't they?
No, I think they might be one of the only few teams who haven't.
I mean, they look...
What's our last game? What's our last
Coventry
game?
We got Coventry. Coventry. So we got Bidwell
they got Bidwell.
Kane.
Is he still playing for them or?
I don't even know if we're going to be going to Coventry's ground to watch it or Walsall's.
Now I think by then you'd be it being a Rangers ground. I think up Scotland. Moving everywhere, aren't they?
Right, lads.
Coventry. Go back to the World Cup quickly. Give us your tip for the World Cup.
Tip?
Portugal. That's my tip for the World Cup.
Never saw that coming. Fair play.
It's difficult. I quite like... I don't know. Oh, it's difficult. I think England are going to do something.
I'm going to go England. Maguire's going to have them.
No, I know, but I just think it's...
Oh, my days.
Oh, God. Hey.
No, Brad's definitely in the Southgate for a knighted camp, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
Ooh, so Gareth.
Help.
Oh, dear.
I reckon France.
Got with the favourites there, mate. I like it.
Well, go right in there. Well, I could have said Brazil, couldn't I?
You could have, yeah. All right, lads, quickly then. Saturday, what do we think, Doug? What are you going for? Prediction?
I'm going for solid performance. I'm going for a 2-0 win. I think we're going to... The home support's going to carry us over the line. 2-0 win for us.
Simon, what do you reckon?
I'm going to say 2-0.
I'm gonna go 1-0. I think it's gonna be a draw. I don't know why, you know, after watching Norwich and we're on an up, I'm being so down, but I think we'll draw to West Brom, we'll beat Huddersfield.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go 4 points, but I think we'll beat West Brom. I don't know why. I think Willock's gonna come back and score a couple. And then I think Huddersfield, it just feels like a club in chaos at the moment and them coming to Loftus Road is... Yeah. All right, lads. Well, we'll leave it there. I'll see you all at half-time down the concourse.
I just want to say, right, you said about my best player in the past. Do you know who was the oldest player ever to play for QPR?
Oh,
good question. Can you give us a clue?
Give you a clue.
Yeah.
There's a male.
Okay.
Was it a goalie?
Huh?
Was it a goalie?
Nah. No. He was... When he played for... He was 39 years old, 7 months. He was...
Not that I see it over and count months of people's age.
It was back in, well, when you get that old, mate, you do. Even minutes era? When you get that
what,
old.
What era are we talking?
1996.
Oh, I was one then.
1996.
Ray Wilkins?
Yes.
Was
Ray,
was
it?
Yes.
I didn't think
he was
that old. Ray Wilkins, he was, 39 years old, played for Nottingham Forest in, we were against Forest, 1996, was our oldest player.
Lovely. Well, there's Simon's stat of the day.
Hey, lads, and just everyone quickly, we're moving over to Acast. So if you're having any issues listening, just give us a shout because we're moving over platforms to Acast. So that we'll be doing that over the next couple of weeks. So just give us a shout. But lads, thanks for coming
on. We'll put the links out, won't we? The links will go out for Acast.
In your new social media page, don't you?
Yes, we do.
We do. Yeah, so keep your eyes and ears out and have a look at W12 Social on Twitter. There'll be a lot of giveaways coming your way. And it's just a really all to talk QPR and analyse the games. So I hope you enjoy it. And give us a follow.
All right, lads. Well, leave it there. Have a great evening.
Cheers, lads. Good
for a win.
See you later, guys. Up the arse.
You are.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.